as we continually move in the book of Exodus, we've seen that God is doing a magnificent thing with the family. And in doing what he's doing with the family, he is really showing us his nature. He's showing us his character. He's showing us what we need to do to be able to please him. Now, the children of Israel, when you read about them, if all you do is read them and say, "Oh, Lord, I'm getting tired of hearing about the tabernacle. I'm getting tired of hearing about the wilderness. I'm getting tired of hearing about the tent of meeting." Well, why don't you look at your own life? Are you getting tired of troubles? Are you getting tired of situations? Are you getting tired of things happening in your life that you don't understand? The problem could be you may not know how to operate in the family the way God wants it done. Their problem was, as a family of God, they didn't honor God as God, neither keep him in their mind and be thankful, and they turned their minds from the true and the living God, and they decided, "You will do what's acceptable to us as a family, and God will just have to sanction whatever it is we do." And God showed them, "No, I will not." And we discussed Sunday how the children of Israel had gotten so bad that God said, "I won't even go up with them. I won't do it. Because they have excluded me and they have replaced me with their own," I want to use the word ideology and autonomy, but I want to change the word to their own thoughts and their own self-rule. God is not willing to go along with that. So let's pull back to where we were Sunday and let's try to get some of the essence of the juice. And what we want to deal with tonight is we need to know God's way and we need to get God's grace in order for the family to operate properly. If God is not with us, we may as well consider ourselves dead as a family. I'll explain what's going on and what I mean by those statements. We need God in the family. We need his presence. We need to know his ways. Let's let Moses show us what he means by that, please, if you will. And if you start at that 33rd chapter and that same verse where we were, please go back to 33rd and 1.
"Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it.'"
Now, after they've done their dirt, after the children of Israel had turned their back on the God that they made the covenant with in the 19th chapter, in the 20th chapter, and God told them, this is the priority or the standard of the covenant. They knew what God's covenant was for them as to be a people. But instead of following God's law and doing things God's way, don't have another God before me. Don't make a graven image. What they decided to do, we'll get together as a family and we will vote God's standard by our own selves. And I find that this is a problem in the midst of many families, that when an individual in the family wants to do right, there'll be some that don't like it. There'll be some that have a problem with it. And there'll be many people like Aaron that will come to learn about God, and they will buckle, they will capitulate, they will lay down God's standard, and they'll pick up the standard of the family. And when they do this, they will bring a curse upon the family because they're not following God's ways. The Hebrew word is direct. They will not be following God's direct or his ways, but they'll be following man's ways. What do you mean, Tim? Moses asked Aaron a pivotal question in the lives of the children of Israel. And I'm just going to put you on the spot. Can you remember the question that Moses asked Aaron when he came down and seen the mess that had ensued?
"What did this people do to you that you would bring such a great sin upon them?"
He asked, thank you, babe. I'm so glad you were on it for me. Oh, hallelujah. He asked this man, "What did the people do to you?" You know that I talk to God. You know that God has allowed you to be my mouthpiece. You've seen what we did to Pharaoh. He let you hold the rod sometimes. He let you do the work sometimes. He let you explain to the elders before we came out, what did this family of people do to you that you turned from the stringent laws of God and followed them? What did they do to make you, instead of being a blessing to them and leading them in the right way, the paths of righteousness, what did they do to you to make you go along with their dirt, with their folly, and bring a curse on your own family? Somebody might say, Tim, you've stretched it a little bit. I dare you to battle with me on the Bible with this. I submit to you before the Lord God Almighty, who is blessed forever. He put Moses and Aaron over that whole family. There was nobody else above them in that family. They were the ones to lead. Why is that? Because their daddy put them in charge. Somebody said, Tim, where you get that from? He said, tell Pharaoh, Israel is my firstborn. Let my son go, or I'll kill yours. Now, let's go back in our mind just a half a tad. When there was a boy that was grown up to be 17 years old, he had a daddy, and they already had sons, but that daddy was able to put that son in charge of the other ones because he's the daddy, same family. That man is Israel. He put Yusuf, Joseph, in charge. God is the daddy. It didn't matter how old the rest of them were. They still represented that same family. Now, I have given Moses, quote unquote, figuratively speaking, the coat of many colors. What do you mean the coat of many colors? The coat or the seal of authority. They didn't come out until I told Moses what to do. And Aaron was his mouthpiece. What did they do to you? How did they get you to go along with them and curse them? Anytime a person has the will of God and know the knowledge of God and you allow family members, friends, associates, children, your cousin, your mama, your daddy, your auntie or auntie, however you want to say it, change you from the truth, from the way of God. They change you from the presence of God. And you allow them to help you curse them. Almost like giving a six-year-old the keys to your car because he cries. And he drives up the street and kills himself and someone else. What did this child do to you that you would bring this on your child? This is where we are right now. So read that first verse again, because I'm very upset in my soul for the Lord.
Then the Lord said to Moses, depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants, I will give it.
I don't like the word in that translation. I want you to keep using it. Where it says descendants, that is singular. Anybody that has the interlinear can look and see that word seed. They put a plural in there. That S in your mind, cut it off. It says seed. And the reason why it is singular is that this is prophetic. It is, you can use it for plural, but let me help you understand how. It's singular because it's going to mean Christ. Nobody's really getting the land. There's going to be one king over that land, okay? Now, if you're in him, Christ, you'll get the reign with him. But that land is promised to his seed. And if you're in Christ, then you'll be a part of that. So what this is a dual promise. Somebody say, Tim, how do you know that? Singular and plural mean something. And I say, go get the cats. You may not know how many, but if you come back with one, you understand why didn't you do what I said. So here, the point again that we made Sunday is this is the family being mentioned again, starting with Father Abraham. That's all I wanted to go to. Give me verse 2.
And I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite, and the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite.
It is assumed that if you're going to walk in God's ways and have God's presence in your family, that you will be able to overcome the obstacles that you have in your own family, and that you can be able to go and deal with other issues outside of the family, so that you can do God's will in the land to allow other people to learn about God. It's assumed that as an individual, you can deal with the problems in your own life to help your family. Tim, why do you get a statement like this? Do you think that God has come just so that we, as the children of God, can go find a Canaanite? Where is a Canaanite today? Sons of Ham? Sons of Ham? No, the grandsons of Ham. Well, I mean, the grandsons of Noah and the sons of Ham. But Ham had other sons. The Amorites. The Hittites, the Perizzites. What is that? What is that saying? Whatever it is that is occupying that which God wants righteousness to prevail in, I want you as a people, as a family, to move in that area and bring about my standards, my way, and my presence. Whether it's a Hittite or Amorite, or whether it's your school, whether it's your job, whether it's your workplace, whether it's the people you associate with, they have things that go on in that neighborhood, in that area, that they need the light of the glory of God. And if you're walking as if in your home, hell is in your home, husband's not doing right, wives fighting against husbands, children fighting against parents, no order, no obedience to God, then why would that be honor to the parents? Why would that be honor to the wife or the husband? You don't have things right in your own home. How dare you to go and try to meet a Canaanite or a Hittite or Amorite, or go to the school system or your job and tell somebody about your God when they look at your ragged and disheveled life. When they look at your children, don't respect you. Talk to you any way they want to. You can't get along with your own children. You can't get along with your brothers and your cousins. You can't get along with husband and wife. God is not pleased with that. The thing was always to honor me first. Learn my deck, my way. Peace with me. Peace with one another. All you do is follow my standards. I made the atmosphere. And my presence. You got to have those two things. But listening to family over God will destroy it. Every time. Somebody said, I know some people that don't love God and they get along, yes. But do they get to deal with the Canaanites? The Hivites. If you'll notice this passage closely, and I won't belabor it much longer, but this point has to be made. They weren't saved just to be saved. They weren't delivered just to be delivered. I need you to go there and give that land me, my ways and my presence. Give them me. Well, Tim, I thought it said they were going to destroy them, but the land would still be there. There would be people in those lands that could change. Once they saw how God operates, yes, some had to be totally annihilated, but there are some that didn't. There were some that would see. Those that would read the book of Joshua would see how Rahab the harlot said, we know what your God has done. And all the men were afraid to try to fight you all. They knew better because you got a mighty God there. I submit to you that the problem that we have many times in families is we don't take God's ways and his presence in a precious manner and we drive him away. Watch what happens in the next verse.
Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people.
Go up to a place that I'll give you abundance. I want to bless you. I want to take you to a land that flows with milk and honey. Milk does not just come from anything. It comes from animals. It takes a process. They have to eat. They have to grow. They have to mature. And the female has to get pregnant. And then when she has a baby, she gets milk. Somebody might say she gets milk before she has a baby. Fine. But the thing is, it's a process. I'm taking you to a land where the progress will be in your favor. The honey that's gathered by the bees, or made by the bees that they gather and pollinate everything, you won't have to make it happen, but you'll be there in the midst of the process of what I'm doing in the abundance. I submit to you that the things that God has for us is when we deal with sin. sin in our lives than in the world. Your sexual sin may be a Canaanite. Your anger, your smart mouth might be a Perizzite. Your disobedience to your children. Well, I don't mean in the sense that you under your children, but I submit to you, there are times when parents should listen to their children. If you train them right, if they know something, you should listen, especially when they're older. My parents listen to me. It don't mean I'm always right. I try to be, but I'm not the boss. I'm not the parent, but when you train, when you all are working towards God, you should be submitting yourself one to another. But the order of the family is children should be obedient to parents. But parents are scared of their kids now. They are scared. They want their children to be their friend. Their children don't even buy the toilet paper to wipe their bottom or the deodorant to put under their arm. They don't pay light bill or gas bill, and they are running things according to the way of the world, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and your family. Who caused you to bring this sin on your family? Same thing when we talk about marriages. How many good marriages are there really? And I'm talking about good according to God's standard. Well, God is the one that's in the midst of every disagreement. How does God feel about when I say this to Ann? How does God feel about when I say this to Tim? How does God feel about this if I want to go in the room and close the door and don't talk? He doesn't like that. Shut your mouth, Tim. Talk it out. You might be right, you might be wrong. If you're wrong, get it right. His presence and his ways are more important than winning an argument. Secondarily, your arguments should be the kind of arguments that are what we call intellectual arguments. They shouldn't be yelling and screaming. It should be where you discuss the points. And when the points are discussed in a righteous manner, truth can be known. And God's way can be blessed. This is what the family should do. But most of the time, we capitulate to the squeaky wheel and we put all the grease on the squeaky wheel, and often the squeaky wheel is not the one carrying the load. What I mean is often we capitulate to the one that brings the less value to the family so far as helping it be like God's sake, and we cater to that one. And we let the other ones go, whether it's husband, wife, uncles, nieces, whatever. Watch and see how we do as people. Please read the word of God.
And when the people heard this evil tidings.
I did leave this part out. Okay. And I shouldn't have done it. God said you are stiff-necked. You are obdurate. You are obstinate. In the black culture, they say you got a hard head. And that doesn't mean you fall on the ground and the rocks break. It's talking about you will not listen. You will not bow down to the will of God. He said they are a stiff neck people. Now, this is an amazing thing, Ann. When you look at that stiff-necked people, look up there on the board where it says, when it's talking about a stiff-necked people, this is talking about dealing with a family. This is dealing with a family. See, if you see where my little cursor is moving right there, it says, and use the race or family. So we're talking about you are a stiff-necked family, lest I consume you in the way. Now read verse 4.
And when the people heard this bad tiding, they mourned.
And when the people heard this tiding, when they heard this news, the news that God was upset with them, when the news that God said, if I come up there with you all, if I come into your family just like it is right now, I'll destroy you. It is too chaotic. One moment, I let you come to the mountain. One moment we ate together. We had sweet, sweet bread together. One moment I allowed you to make sacrifices to me. And the smoke went up into heaven into my presence. Just a few moments ago, a few days ago, I was allowing for the tabernacle to be built. And I had set up for you all to have your sins forgiven. And I had even fixed ways someone could come in my presence in the holiest of all and bring it. Pray for you and take care of you because I'm going to treat you so specially because you wanted my presence, you said. You were going to walk in my ways, you said. But as soon as I gave you a test, hear my words. My words are coming from the scripture. When God often comes into your life and he wants to deal with you in covenant, you think he should take 100 years before he tests you. God does not let man tell him how to operate. He created Adam and gave him a job. He created Eve and gave her a job. Her job was to help him. Am I right? God redeemed these people and he gave them a job and he put them to the test. They failed so many times. Then he made covenant with them. Now he gave them another test. It looks like he's gone. It looks like Moses is gone out of the way. And he gave them a test of a few days to test their patience. Will you hold on to my word? Will you trust my word that I've given? Will you keep your word when you said whatever you do? Whatever you say, we'll do it. We'll be obedient. We trust you. We've seen your mighty acts. We saw how you freed us. We see how you slaughtered all of the gods of Egypt. We realize that as your children, we are the most magnificently wonderful, blessed family that has ever been. We have God, Yahweh, as our Father. And when he tested, the discouragement came. And in the midst of testing, we don't have God jumping and doing like we want him to when we want him to, and we start reverting back to our old ways of Egypt. We got out of Egypt the spoil and the goods, the gold and the silver, but we weren't supposed to take their religion or their philosophy. We were supposed to take their ways of doing things. But instead of just getting the gold and the silver and the booty from there, we took other. And we turned our back on God in the midst of a short test. Because we keep wanting to see miracles. We keep wanting to see things happen. And God is trying to grow them up to trust his word. And so now God's word is not continually flowing, but Aaron had enough of God's word that's why Moses chided him first. He didn't chide the people first. Well, why are you saying all these things, Tim? I don't get it. Because there's a word in verse number 4 that these people should have been some of the happiest people on earth. But instead of being able to rejoice in God, they rejoiced in wickedness. Instead of being able to rejoice in God's way, they rejoiced in the way of family. But what's the problem? What's that word? And can you tell me which word that I'm looking at in verse 4 that made me get all bent out of shape?
You got bent out of shape.
I got bent out of shape because in my mind, there is something sad in here. Read that word that I know you see it. And they did what?
Mourned.
Mourned. That word, to mourn. This is the act of an elegy. We don't use that word much, but of a funeral dirge. Listen to what Gesenius says on this. This word deals with the proper signification. It appears to be languid, to walk with head cast down. In the Hifel, it means to cause to mourn, to make to lament, like in the book of Lamentation. When the people heard that God's presence wasn't going to be there. By the decree of Moses, they mourned. I submit to you, they were in the same position before Moses ever told them. Most of us will not mourn until we see that God is not with our family. Most of us, we will not sense it. We will not sense that God's presence is not with us. Well, Tim, somebody might say, Tim, well, how can we tell when God's presence is not with us? Because sometimes when his presence is with us, we don't feel it. Are you ordering your family according to his ways? Are you ordering your life according to his ways? Can he tell you what to do when it gets done? Or do you tell God to wait? I mean, do you, the insignificant being, except for the significance God gives you, tell God to wait? I've done it. It didn't work too well. It cost me. Read some more of the sweetest word of God.
And no one put on his ornament.
This is how bad the mourning was. This is what Aaron helped cause them to do. Because remember that God had allowed them to kill so many of them. And a plague was already in the midst of them. And now God is saying, I'm not going up. And when Moses comes back and tells the people, they mourn. Our good time is over. We don't know what he'll do. We've seen what he did to Pharaoh. We saw what he did to the Amalekites. Fear of God often is the beginning of wisdom. Sometimes it's just a person decide they just don't want to be in trouble. Read some more of the sweet word of God.
For the Lord had said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, You are stiff-necked people. I could come up into your midst in one moment and consume you. Now, therefore, take off your ornaments, that I may know what to do to you.
Don't be walking around here looking happy when you don't have your stuff in order. Don't be walking around here happy my presence is not with you. Don't be walking around looking like everything is okay with gold and silver jingling and you made a golden calf. Don't be walking around here and you've been worshiping and not worshiping me. I gave you the ultimate of worship and you decided you wanted the less than the ultimate. I gave you the rules to have proper family. All of you tribes one with another. All of you tribes with me. And you decided to do something else. And you decided to listen to someone else. Don't walk around here looking good. You a liar. And the truth not in you. If I come up in you right here, right now, I'll tear you in sunder. You don't act like you know what my name is. But my name is wonderful. My name is powerful. My name is magnificent. And I don't play. Ever. God is a God that does not like recess. You can make that a verse in the Bible in your mind that you just know that somewhere it ought to be in there if it is. If it's not. And what I mean by that, he's not the one to be tempted. Read on.
So the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Horeb.
And they got that stuff and they plundered themselves. That same word stripped is the same word as they stripped the people of that gold and silver in Egypt. They stripped themselves of the ornaments in Mount Horeb. The very thing that they should have had as ornaments that God wanted them to have, God should take it off. Take it off! What I have blessed you with, I don't want to see it. And I'm going to tell you something. There are many times we can be blessed by God and you don't think God can take your blessing from you? Put him on the back. Keep putting him on the back burner. Keep putting God on the black back burner. The black burner, back burner, black burner is one being burned up a lot of stuff. Keep putting him on the back burner and see, Kate, he just like he rejoiced to do good over you, he can rejoice to do evil to you. He can take your blessing and curse it. I read it in the book of Malachi and I know it's not a lie. No, it's not. Look, he just did it to them. And you think God has changed? He told Israel, you're to kill the prophets and all those that have come to you. How I would love to take you like a hen and gather you together to have brood together, but you would not, so your house is left desolate. Your time of visitation came. Your time to raise up and be counted. Your time to raise up and be what God would have you to be has come, and you didn't see it. And you killed the Lord of glory. So your house is left to you desolate. I'll send my disciples and my apostles out to another nation with strange tongues, and they'll hear me. Many of us, we think God's going to keep blessing us like we are, and we act like God's not watching how we live, how we act in our homes. Can't make a difference in the community because we're not doing it with ourselves in our home. What a disgrace to God Almighty that out of all the knowledge we have, the Bible, dictionaries, online Bible galore, know how to pray and sing and pray and shout or whatever. And can God get some obedience, please? Can God get some families in order, please? Can God get somebody that will say, God, I thank you for what you've done? And when he doesn't move as fast as you want him to, can we get somebody to be patient and wait on him? They couldn't. And you see God's attitude with that. Read some more of the sweet word of God.
And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp.
This is not the same tabernacle that God has told him to build. This is the same kind of thing that evidently they had a tent where they would meet before and they would come together. This is not the tabernacle that God had to build with the Holiab and Bezaleel and the women. This is just the tent of meeting tabernacle. And he pitched it where?
Without the camp.
And now God separates from them. Now when Adam and Eve sinned, God kicked them out. This time, God moves. You see the same kind of thing in Ezekiel when God leaves the temple. Please read.
Afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp.
So now, instead of God being in the midst of the camp, they have to seek God outside of the camp. Privilege wasted. See, when the privilege is not recognized, often it's wasted. Responsibility was abdicated. When responsibility is abdicated, guess what happens many times with God? God often will allow you to still have the responsibility, but when God removes the responsibility from you and the privilege, he replaces. Often he replaces. So these people are seeing the state that they're in, and now they're trying to seek him. But see, they had him at first. Just like Adam, no doubt Adam wanted to go back into the garden. He would have wanted to go back in the garden. I believe that, Ann. I believe God knows what he's doing. So when he does something, he knows what he's doing, when he's doing it, and why he does it. And he put cherubim there with flaming swords. And he said, lest he come back in here and eat and try to live forever. And I ain't going to have that. Read some more of the sweetest word of God.
And it came to pass, when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle.
Do you see the beauty of this? Let me change my voice. You see, the beauty of this is this. Moses stuck with God. And so Moses was able to still have the presence of God. Moses didn't capitulate to his brother, or Miriam, his sister, or the rest of the tribe of the Levites, the rest of the tribe of the Judahites, and to the, what do you call it, Levites. He was a Levite, or Asherites, or whatever, all 12 of them. Moses stuck with God. And because of that, they did not affect him being able to have his relationship with God. You see, when you stand for God, the family should be able to see someone that God is still dealing with. And they should be able to look at themselves and say, this is what I could have. This is what I should have. But Moses put himself and kept himself in the position where he could pray for them. Aaron did not do such. You have the tale of two brothers, the tale of two leaders. One stuck with God. And here God is. He's without the camp. But Moses, you can be with me. The rest of you all, stay where you are. Only time you can get access to me is if you come through Moses. Whereas before, I was having to say, well, all of you all could come and bring your offering, bring your sacrifice. Oh, you all could be on Aaron's shoulder in the little black onyx on his breastplate. I was going to let you go in as a representation on Aaron. Now it's Moses. Aaron can't even go in. Why? One man. It should be that each family member is so right with God that this thing could be where people will look at your family and that they can observe you and come to you to learn about God so that they can do that for their family. Read some more of the sweetest word of God.
And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses.
And instead of a cloudy pillar going up from the altar, which God would have when they were offered an animal sacrifice, the animal would have been killed, and the blood would have been drained, the animal would be burned, and the smoke would have sent up to heaven. And since the animal would have been the person's death penalty paid for his sin, the smoke of sin would be a person that had already been judged, right? The penalty paid for death, and that person would sins up. But mm-hmm. instead of that being a continual smoke going up, well, the Lord comes to where Moses is, and he comes down. Because I can't let you all ascend to me, but I'll come and ascend, descend down to where Moses is in the cloudy pillar. I'm going to let you know that my presence is with Moses, not with you. Is there any time that we can let our family know that God is with us? Can we stand the test? Can we stand the trial? Can we stand the things that will come that will hurt our feelings? Can we cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I know it's like it's taking a long time, but Lord, I took a long time in my dirt. I took a long time in my filth. Lord, I planted this crop for 30 years, and I want the harvest to be gone, all the roots to be gone, and all of the seeds that have grown to be gone. And I want you to jump right now, Lord. You better jump like the people say, right now, Lord, right now, Lord. I demand it, Lord. You better watch your filthy mouth. You demanding something. You must think you're talking to Tim Merritt or some other person that put shoes on their feet and walk around. You watch your mouth. God let the worms eat up Herod one time, run that mouth, and all the people did say you spoke like a god, and God didn't like it. Read the book of Acts. Learn the word of God. Learn how sometimes he strike people dead. And just because you hear people talking about, well, he died of natural causes, you don't know that. Everybody in the Bible that God struck dead, the corner would say they died of natural causes. Especially when they can't find it out. You think somebody going to go by and say, super duper? You must be crazy. God know what he's doing. Read some more of the sweeted word of God.
And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshiped. Every man in his tent door.
Man, he's at the same kind of door back like it was when they put blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. You're not right there where it was. You having a look out there and see what Moses has. You got a choice. You want to live for God? You really want to live for God? Learn his ways. Practice his presence. You practice his presence by walking in his ways. Learning his ways. And often it will set you at odds with your family. People in your school, people that are supposed to be sophisticated. Sophistry is something that people can put on as an air. But you know, I see people that have been sophisticated, when they get to where they get incontinence, and they use the bathroom all over themselves, some of that sophistication leaves. When they get to talk like that and they had a stroke, what is man, the Bible say? We just like the grass and the flower there, we fade. We better have God's word that never fades so he can give us a new body and a new life. We destroy our families by not holding firm. God's not going to give it to us easy because he's trying to make us grow and mature. He's training us to reign. To reign with him. I'm not talking about like rain, rain, go away, come again another day. Little Johnny wants to play. I'm talking about reign like a king reigns. He's training us. This is boot camp. Come on, let's get with it. Let's be a blessing to ourselves, to our families, and to the Seeking Truth Assembly. Let's have some maturity so that when people come by, they can look at us and say, they got something we don't have. Not rolling on the floor and babbling and saliva going all over the place, but a people that realize that we're supposed to love ourselves by loving God's ways in his presence, love our families and each family, respect each family, and walk like God said, honor his ways and statutes. So that we all can be productive. So that when people can stand in that door and watch us. See, what I've done is I've gone from the literal what they did there. They stood in that door and they watched Moses, where God talked back and forth with them. And they realized that Moses was the person that was in touch with God. And they worshiped there. They bowed. They prostrated themselves. Okay, we will humble ourselves. What I'm saying is when you walk like God says, somebody that know that they want to seek God and they know you've got something, they can watch you and they can learn and then they can inquire of you and you can teach. And Moses was, God was putting Moses in that position, in their eyesight again, because they were unworthy to be in God's presence. Read some more, please.
And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face, as a man speaks unto his friend.
This is an idiom. God does not have a face. Like I talked to so-and-so face-to-face on the phone. Like I told somebody the other day, I said, I'm going through the traffic light. I said, I better stop before I go through the light. If you don't understand idioms, you would think, did you get cut? Or if I tell somebody I was going fast and light turned yellow and I made the light. No, I didn't take some glass and put a filament in and make the light. That means I went through and was able to get to the other side of the light before it changed. When it says face to face, that's an idiom. That means he talked to him without dark sayings. I come here in the cloud. You don't really see me, my face, but you talk to me, not in dark speeches, not in dreams, but Moses tells them this. This is what I'm talking about. Please read.
And he turned again into the camp.
So he spoke to him as a man talks to his friend. He turns again into the camp, but what?
But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle.
I need you to understand something. Joshua is Moses' servant. Joshua is not just anybody. Joshua is someone that waited upon. If you look right here on your board, it says this is what Joshua was. He was to wait upon, to serve, and to minister unto. That's the same thing in the book of Acts, pretty much, when the apostles said, look, we can't be serving tables and studying the word of God and praying like we need to. There ought to be some men out here with the Holy Spirit and with power. Get 7 of them and let them serve. They will be serving us as they serve you. Moses had a servant, Joshua. Would to God that we could live our lives in such a way that somebody in our family would rise up and say, you know what, I'm going to serve God that way. And we ought to help them. If it's us, someone ought to help us. Please read.
And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. And thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight.
Mm-hmm.
Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people.
Do you feel the strength of this? The way of God must be known in order for us to have his presence. Moses said, see, you say to me to bring up this people. But you say if you come in the midst of them, you're going to consume them. Then you tell me in one place they're my people. Well, who are you going to send? Because I already see what kind of people this is, too. Now, you say they're stiff-necked, and you're going to put this on me? Lord, who you going to send? You say you know me by name. Now, if I found grace, if I found favor in your sight, I pray you, if I found grace, show me your ways. Show me your ways. There's a big job. These people, show me your ways. If you want to do right by yourself and by your family, this should be your prayer. Lord, show me your ways, not just what you see written. Show me your ways. And that might be a hard thing because patience sometimes ensues. But show me your ways that I might find grace or favor in your sight. That should be the prayer of every leader. Every father is a leader. Somebody said, Tim, I don't know now. You don't know my daddy, man. My daddy, he ain't gonna lead nothing. That he's a leader. He's incompetent. He's a leader. Well, you don't know my mom. Man, if you knew my, she's a leader. You don't know my oldest son. Listen, every individual. You don't know my pastor. I can go through every list of everything. But when we ask God to show us his ways, that we might find grace and favor, we're asking for the presence of God to be with us, to help us. Why should our family be destroyed and we think we're going on to heaven? Or even if we do, we're not as good as the rich man that was with Lazarus. When he got there, he worried about his 5 brothers. But what did Jesus tell him? Did Jesus say, go and read Paul in the books that Paul wrote in the New Testament or that Paul will write? Did Jesus say Abraham said that? Nope. Did Jesus say, tell him to read the 4 Gospels? Nope. Did Jesus say, tell him to go learn the 4 spiritual laws that's going to be written by Bill Bright? No. Jesus said that Abraham told him that they have Moses and the prophets. Let him or let them hear them. I'm trying to give you what Abraham told the rich man. I'm giving you Moses right here. And it's not going to contradict the New Testament. If you learn his ways and you find his favor, somebody can take your life and that's all they can do, Deanne. That's all they can do is take your life. They can't take nothing else. And read that 13th verse again, and then I'm going to say this part first, and then you read it and go on to the 14th because it's so sweet. He said, and consider this nation, this family, this group. The word is Amma, like in Ben-Ami, like when Ben-Omi, where it talks about the son of the people. That's the same kind of root for the same word that daughter of Lot named the son. This is your people. This is your family. Read it again, and without my illustrations.
Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people.
And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest.
That's the key. That's our subject. That's our predicate. And that's the body of our message tonight. God's presence will go with you if you learn his ways and you do things by his standards. He'll grant you grace. His presence will be with you. Even when you don't know it, his presence was with them, but they still built the golden calf. All the time his presence don't jump and make you behave. But it's there. You can thwart it. You can make him leave. This time he left them. But he didn't go all the way away. Read the Bible enough, you see he left them totally many times. Read the next verse. It's so beautiful.
And he said unto him,
if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence.
God, if your presence is not going to be with us, I don't want to go. This job is too hard. If you show me your ways, and I find grace in your sight, and you show me this favor, and your presence go with me, I can do it. The New Testament has the equivalent of I can do all things with Christ through Christ that strengthened me. Moses is saying, look, with your presence, I'm good. Without your presence, let us stay right here. Because if we go and deal with those Canaanites, those Hivites, and those Amorites, and all those people without your presence, and without your favor, you say, I'm good. You talking with me. Ain't nobody going to come in here and slap me while you right here. Nobody going to come and stick a spear through me while I'm right here. But look at all these people that have turned their back on you. And you tell me to take them up. Show me your ways. As a leader, show me your ways. And I might find favor and that your presence will go with me. If it doesn't, please, I don't want to move. Read the next two verses. That's where we're going to stop. 16 and 17.
For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth.
So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name.
Wow. Can we take a little string out of this stocking and pull on it and see if we can unravel it? Moses says, if your presence go not up with me, let us stay where we are. Don't carry us up out of here. For wherein, how shall it be known herein? How is it going to be known that the people and I have found grace in your sight? How is it going to be known? If you're not with us, how is it, D.A., that someone would know that you have God's favor if his presence is not with you? How is it that someone is going to know that your family is honoring God if his presence is not there? You can talk all day long. You can hallelujah. You can roll on the floor. Somebody can call your phone and get your answering service and say, praise the Lord, I'm blessed. But if his presence is not there, you only fool the gullible. But the Bible says that Moses says, is it not in that you goest with us? That we don't just have potential, we have the collateral. You see, a lot of people in life, they get a lot of credit. Husbands get credit. They don't really deserve the honor that they get, but they get it because of God said. Sometimes bosses don't deserve it. Wives don't deserve it. Whatever. People in the family, often we give them credit, and they're not living up to the standard of God's ways. But Moses is saying, we need the substance, not just the symbol of you being with us. And he says, if you go with us, that's the only way that it'll be known that we have grace. If not, we'll be separated. We're good as dead. Somebody said, Tim, where did you get that from? God told Adam, in the day that you eat, you die. Adam did not die physically, but he was separated from God's presence. Now, someone say, that didn't mean that. Well, let's look at it closely. He says, so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. In one sense, if God is not there, they will be spiritually dead. But in the sense of dealing with the other nations, we will only be distinguished by your character, by your ways, and by your structure. By your character, your ways, your presence. In the family, if you're supposed to have God in you, how dare you let the wicked and the ungodly in your family tell you what to do and to influence you and to monopolize your time and to monopolize where you can't learn and study God's word, where you can't exercise his presence, where you let people on your job fix it, where you can't say anything about God, but they can say any dirty, filthy, nasty thing that come out of their mouth when they decide they want to. When you have friends, they can talk about anything that they want to, but you can't exercise God's presence or separate from them. How will it be that they will know that you are separated from them unless God's presence with you and by you walking according to his ways because you found favor in his sight? And the Lord said to Moses, can I change the word for a minute? I'll go back to what it says. I'm going to hear your prayer. You have prayed for these people. You stood separately from them. You honored me above your own brother, your own sister. If your mom and daddy are alive, above them, over your cousins, your nieces, etc. You honored me above everything. You seek with all your heart to know my ways, my character, and you want my presence. And because of you, I will answer your prayer. And I'll be there with you. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing also that you have spoken. For you found grace in my sight. I know you by name. The one that stood separate. The one that walked in God's ways and didn't capitulate to the family. To the culture that they had made because they got it from Egypt. That was the one that was able to save all of them. Someone say, Tim, that's a whole lot to say he saved all of them. Well, I put it like this. If God say, if I go up, I'll consume them all, and now he's going to go up with them and not consume them all, I don't think I have to be a Phi Beta Kappa from MIT to realize that God has used Moses to intercede for them because Moses stood steadfast. And when you read the book of Hebrews, you'll see Moses was faithful in all his house as Christ is the son over his house. Whose house are we? And we continue in the faith. Where do we stand? Where do we stand when it seems like the Lord has left? Where do we stand when testing come? Where do we stand whenever things get hard? Do we go and build a golden calf? Do we listen to family members and let them control? One day your family members will breathe their last breath, they will cough, and their body will set stiff, and it will get rigor mortis. Their joints will no longer move. Their face will become hard as a flint. The blood will coagulate in their body, and they have to have an undertaker to pump it out with something metal. And they will take their body and put some grease or something on it. And they will close the casket over their face. And they will go out to a hole in the ground with some greenery around. And they'll take this thing and lower your loved one's body that disobeyed God that you listen to in the daggone dirt. And they will throw dirt on top of their body. And it will move their apparatus and the chairs up around it. And everybody will drive off and leave. And they will come it up when you're not looking. And people will drive their cars on it. Birds will go out and walk across it and do what birds do. And ants will make nests on top of it. And sometimes people will steal the copper or the metal off the top of it. And you, the person you honor above God, you will see. They're in the same position that they always were. They don't have the ability to lead you in God's ways or to bring you peace. The only thing that you can do is you walk in God's ways and statutes yourself so that you both can rise together and be with the Lord who is blessed forever. Amen. Learn God's ways. Practice his presence. And see Won't he make you distinguished among the people? And see, won't he make you a blessing? And see, won't he give you victory over the very things in this life that are obstacles, the very things that he wants conquered in this world, on your job, around your friends, etc. We got a job to do. We start with ourselves and our families. He gave each one of us to a family. We have a job to do in that family. You can either be like Aaron or Moses. Take your choice. Father, I thank you for your message. I thank you for your word. We do have Moses and the prophets. And if we could practice your presence, if we could practice learning your ways and obtain your grace, I know of a certainty, Lord, you can make us distinguished in the earth, distinguished to do your will. That's what I ask for us all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and even so. Amen.